It's religion today, it's ideology today, and our secularist friends also have a faith.
Some kind of Disneyland fantasy.
I know how this is going to get heard in the secular world.
The pseudo-Christian masks are off.
That's nonsense, ladies and gentlemen.
Apologetics isn't just about giving answers to other people's questions. It's also about learning to question other people's answers or even question the question itself.
In a Christian worldview.
Welcome to Quantum of Solace number 91. Now, what can we discuss this week? We could discuss many, many different things. The failure of a far-right fascist in Austria to be elected, we could discuss that. We could discuss the collapse that is likely to occur in Italy. We could discuss the university in Glasgow, student association that has banned a pro-life group in the name of freedom and comfort zones. There are so many things we could discuss, but we're not going to go there because there's something that's more important. And this is going to be a hard one for most people to take, and they think I'm a bit weird for saying it. I think this is more important than Brexit. I think this is more important than Donald Trump. And it's an event that occurred last week that largely went unheralded and unnoticed. The first ever debate in Parliament about transgender. Now, why was that significant? I think it was only Pink News and the Equality Network who said that it was significant. Well, I'm going to agree with my friends in these particular organizations. I think it was incredibly important. And this is major change. This is change that's way beyond the change that was occurred through same-sex marriage. Why was there so little publicity about it? It's the kind of event that normally allows or is followed by virtue signaling all over the place. Headlines in the newspapers, documentaries, and so on. Interesting that the BBC hardly covered it at all, and yet that same day had a documentary about transgender in general. But why not cover this particular debate? And I think the answer is very straightforward. The vast majority of people in this country would be opposed to what was being decided. And so what's happening is that this is being discussed within Parliament. It's decided upon. Basically, it's already been decided upon. And over the years, it will be applied to the whole culture.
So full and yet so foolish. So blessed and yet so blind. Trapped and deceived by the chaos in your mind, when lies have held you hostage, only truth will set you free. Outside Christ, I look at you and see me.
We said a debate. I apologize for the use of that word because it's the word that's used by Parliament. Here's the fascinating thing. There was no debate. No one disagreed. No one questioned. No one asked about the implications. The only competition, if you like, was people standing up trying to show how much more pro-transgender they were than the person before had been speaking. There's no debate. This is gone. This was, as one Labour MP said, it was a celebration. Why is this important? Two key things. First of all, there was to be a move to self-declaration in order to change legal sex. Currently, if you or I wish to change our sex, we must be over 18, we must be diagnosed with gender dysphoria, and we must have been living in our desired gender role for at least 2 years and intend to do so for the rest of our life. The Government Equality and Women's Committee, and by the way, I think if this was followed through absolutely, the Women's Committee part of it would have to disappear. But the Government's Equality and Women's Committee has called for the removal of all three of these criteria. Anyone could change their sex without the need of any social or medical transition. It would mean that I, as a man, could decide to declare myself female, and I could gain access to women's clubs, women's toilets, and if there were women's quota things, then I would just accept them. People say, well, this is all ridiculous, and what are the consequences of it? Well, I had somebody contact me this week who was very, very disturbed about it. A woman who felt that she herself, very liberal in lots of ways, but she felt that she would be endangered if she was in this kind of environment. The second aspect of this proposal, apart from self-identification, is to amend the name of the protected category from gender reassignment to gender identity. That seems fairly innocuous, just legal terms. But actually, the implications are massive. Gender reassignment suggests a process of moving from one thing to another. Gender identity legally enshrines the concept of an innate fixed identity that overrides biological sex. Gender identity replaces the concept of sexual identity as male and female. In other words, there's now going to be no longer any way of legally differentiating between the sexes. Why is this so important? It's an attack upon children, because encouraging children in this direction is a form of child abuse. It's an attack upon women, which is why so many feminists are opposed to, or at least uncomfortable with, this push towards moving away from gender recognition to gender self-identity. It's a massive change within our culture. In the beginning, God made them male and female, and at the end, the British Parliament decided that they were not.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. The world paints a picture that just isn't true. A heart as cold as stone that thinks that it's alive swallows poison, yet still expects to thrive.
But let's see how this change occurs, because I think there's various steps, and we do have a link to this. This is an article I've written about this. Number one, you dramatize and talk up the problem. Gender dysphoria is a real psychological problem for which a small minority of the population require help. Indeed, the day after writing this article, I met with somebody who was having issues along these particular lines. This is a very real difficulty. I'm not recording this to have an attack on people who are genuinely transgender, who are genuinely suffer from gender dysphoria. It's 0.1%, possibly to 0.3% of the population. But because this has now become the new shibboleth issue of the culture, it's going to be pushed and it's going to cause harm to other people. We were told that transgender people are far more likely to commit suicide. Apparently almost 50% have attempted it. And that trans women are 49 times more likely than heterosexuals to get HIV, far more likely to suffer from depression and engage in alcohol and substance abuse. Well, the thought occurred to me, and I'm not sure why someone didn't say it, is if that's the case, why would we encourage people in that direction? Now, I know the answer. The answer that's often given is the only reason that transgender people are suicidal is because of the stigma attached and persecution in society. And I don't doubt that that is a factor. But I do doubt that that is the whole or even the majority of it. And I do think that when you have got medical professionals telling us that gender reassignment surgery results in 80 to 90% negative outcomes, we really ought to be asking. But the trouble is that this intolerant group, and I don't mean the transgender people, I mean the people who are pushing it, this intolerant group, the minute you begin to question, they just say that you're transphobic and you're contributing to the problem. They engage in emotional blackmail. And that's what, by the way, why only about 24 MPs out of 600 odd were actually in this debate. And all of them, of course, were committed to the cause.
Robbed of your birthright, of knowing who you are, pain and oppression, the battle lines of scars. You cast off freedom's chains for manacles of lies. True fulfillment flees away from your eyes.
So if step one is over-dramatize the problem and talk up the problem, step two is make sure that no proper debate happens. As I've already indicated, this was not a debate. Can you imagine what would have happened if anyone had dared raise the inconvenient fact that the vast majority of children who feel they are trans in their teens, by the time they're in their 20s, have reverted? if they haven't had medical procedures. You then stop debate by accusing anyone who speaks against you of a hate crime. And that's difficult because several times it was reported that there were lots of increases in hate crimes. 585 hate crimes, apparently. And yet, I wonder how many hate crimes have been against other groups. And also the definition of hate crime. As we pointed out before, did you know that to be recorded as a hate crime, all you have to do is report it? So I'm going to report my good colleague Andy Bannister for the number of really hateful jokes that he's made about me. And I'm going to it will be recorded as a hate crime, even if the police thought it was ridiculous. I think even more than the same-sex marriage debate in Parliament, there was no discussion. There was no debate. It was only virtue signalling. Step three, use the mainstream media and public institutions. The media were congratulated several times during the debate on taking up the cause. We need more trans actors playing trans people, we were told. Although I did wonder, do we stipulate that only homosexuals can play homosexual people? Or Scots, Scottish people, and so on. Channel 4 and the BBC were praised for their many trans programmes and for recognising the importance of soap operas in normalising trans. But social revolutions don't just come through the media. They come through public state institutions as well. And the MPs went on to insist that the government made sure all the public institutions just get with the programme. It was a bit amusing to hear the police in Wales being congratulated for marching with pink LGBT badges, as were the British Army for winning Stonewall Pink News Awards. Who cares whether we can catch criminals or defeat ISIS? At least our police and army are suitably progressive and wear the right badges. Step four. And this is the key one. Use the education system to indoctrinate children. You see, the reason this didn't get much publicity is your ordinary man and woman in the street, and forgive me for using those binary terms, but your ordinary man and woman in the street, if they hear about this kind of stuff, will go, oh, don't be ridiculous. It's not going to happen. But it is. Maria Miller said we needed to use education to prevent hate crimes, and everyone agreed. Inclusive education, we are told, does pay off in long terms. Young people are the key to transforming our society. Make no mistake, our progressives want to transform society and they want to use our children to do so. The education system is no longer seen as a place where children are educated, but rather where they are victims of social engineering.
Father, forgive me. My silence is my shame. You've shown me what the truth is, yet I rarely bear your name. Oh, show them your compassion. Give them eyes to see that by following in your ways, that is free.
Step five. Legislate and get the government to spend more money. Much more money must be spent by the NHS on transgender. A little bit ironic that that same day there was a news item on the BBC about lollipop ladies. And if you don't know what they are, go find out. But lollipop ladies and lollipop men being drastically cut by councils in order to save 800,000. So children's road safety is being threatened by these cuts. And yet you can be sure the government will still find money to indoctrinate and promote the trans agenda. And then step six, the final step, you intimidate. You tell people they're on the wrong side of history. You tell people that they're backward and we need to be forward looking. The irony here is that in the name of tolerance, our progressives impose their intolerance and tyranny. Everyone in society is to be treated fairly and with dignity, except, of course, those who don't agree with the progressive agenda. It's ironic that those who argue for non-binary gender live in such a binary world when it comes to politics and morality. Their morality is the only one. Think of poor Caroline Flint, a Labour MP who went a little bit against the flow by suggesting that women might feel unsafe if men were allowed into women's toilets or bathrooms or restrooms just because they self-identified as a woman. And she was slapped down, accused of transphobia, and the Pink News and others immediately stuck the boot into her. So what's going to happen with this? Who's going to stand up against this intimidation? Well, we need to do it now. We cannot wait, and we cannot trust what I call the Stepford politicians, every single one of them repeating almost exactly the same mantra. We need to inform ourselves. We need to understand and grasp what is going on. We need to realize that the world has moved on incredibly since 2004, as the government's spokesperson, Carolyn Dinniage, stated. But has it progressed or has it regressed? Just consider this. In the British Parliament, there was an MP, SNP MP actually, Hannah Bardell of Livingston. She said, there's so much she said that was just breathtaking, but she said we should all be working towards the day when we are all assigned the term MX, not Mrs., not Mr., not Ms., and nobody challenged it. A tiny minority of MPs in an unheralded debate have set the country on a dreadful course, one that will do dreadful harm. What can we do as Christians? Well, don't react with fear and loathing, condemning and speaking just to ourselves. Don't retreat into a kind of isolationism. We are to be salt and light in the world. We are meant to be a prophetic voice. We cannot withdraw. And for the sake of the children, we cannot back off from challenging this radical ideology which undermines the whole of humanity. In the article, I give many examples of people I've been involved with, and I'm sure that you will know of others. But let me finish by just saying this. I am concerned for the children and young people in my congregation. As an under-shepherd of the flock of Jesus Christ, how can I not be concerned for his lambs? But I'm also greatly concerned for the thousands in my city and the millions in my country who do not know their right hand from their left. I'm concerned for the teachers and doctors and nurses and social workers and politicians facing increasing pressure to conform to the new morality. I'm concerned about the tyrannical heel of this new intolerant progressivism. We cannot stand by and let this tyranny and darkness swallow up the people of this land. This is not an irrelevant issue. It's time to speak up, and it's time to shed the light of the gospel of Christ, because ultimately that's the only answer into a world where people are so confused that they are prepared to destroy humanity in the name of humanity. See you next week.
Oh, to catch a glimpse of glory, even through a glass that's blurred, and gaze upon his beauty in the mirror of his word, growing in Christ-likeness. Is our heart's cry, plea, may we become what we were made to be. So full and yet so foolish, so blessed and yet so blind, trapped and deceived by the thoughts within my mind, those lies that held me hostage. The truth, it set me free. Outside Christ, I once was you. He set me free. Yes, outside Christ, I once was you. He set me free.